God's grace, mercy, and peace be yours this day, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Season tickets to your favorite sports team. The newest car on the market. Having in your wallet gold or platinum credit cards. Or maybe always having family brunch. Having 3 rounds of golf a week. Always wearing your Dockers. Whatever your fashion, whatever your lifestyle, whatever your standard of living, when it comes to becoming comfortable in our lifestyle, we not only want to keep it, but it's our human nature to always want more. We've become used to our little luxuries, however big or small they really are, and we'd hate to have to suddenly lose any of them. We're not accustomed to going without. And that's what Israel is now facing because they had just been brought out of Egypt and apparently they didn't like it either. But in our text, the Lord shows Israel and us that by the giving of the Holy Spirit, God gives life well beyond the lifestyle that we're used to. Think of Israel. Think about the way that they were living, and they were reflecting on how they ate in Egypt. Oh, we used to have fish. We used to have melons and fresh garlic and leeks and onions. Oh, it sounds so good. Never mind the fact that they were slaves. I mean, it's interesting how we have that selective memory and we look at those Israelites and how can they forget where they were living? How if they didn't produce enough, they were tortured. But they are so focused on their immediate circumstance that they forget. They grumble, our diet is not as rich as it was when we were in Egypt. It was selfishness and it was boredom with God's providence that led them to grumble. They were eating manna every day. Manna, that great Hebrew word that means, what is it? We're tired of eating this. Thank goodness we would never do something like that. We would never grumble, would we? Or have we? Do we grumble? Do we become bored with our standard of living? Or even worse, do we have discontent towards what we have? Do you know anyone who has a bigger home than you do? I'm guessing you all do. Do you know people that have nicer cars, go on better trips? Maybe their families seem happier. Maybe their kids go to church more. Maybe their kids have better careers. Whatever it is, we can find it. We find the things that make us unhappy and we latch on to them and then we go, where's God? Why isn't He doing something about this? Now with the Israelites, they're complaining and they're grumbling. Has anyone here ever had someone complain to them before? All right, exactly. Is it fun to listen to someone complain? Have you ever had 5 people complain to you? Have you ever had 10 people complain to you? All right, so here's Moses, right? We're talking a couple million people grumbling. And so what does Moses do in regards to this? He grumbles and complains to God. He says, God, I did not conceive this many people. I didn't give birth to them. What's going on? I can't take this. In fact, God, if you really love me, you'll take me out. Just kill me. I've spent 40 years taking care of these millions of people. It's too much. And that's because Moses is carrying this all on himself and is looking to himself for answers. We also, for all of us who have had people complain to us, how many of us have ever complained to someone? Again, it's a pandemic. It's worldwide. We complain. Have you ever gotten tired of carrying the same burdens? Do you have a friend or a family member who you help with the same problem over and over and over? Maybe in the workplace, you've got a fellow person that you've been covering for, and it never goes the other way. Thankfully, in church, we never grumble. We never go, why aren't there more people helping with the ushering? Why aren't there more people helping with Sunday school? Why can't we find people to do this, that, or the other? And those that are doing it, have you ever felt a little angry about people not stepping up? It's interesting, isn't it? We'll always find something. And the question is not, are you a complainer or not a complainer? The question is, because that's been answered, the question is, where do we go when we are not content? Moses went to God. That's why he's the leader. And he said, God, now his suggestions to God were, kill me now. But of course, God acted in a way that said, Moses, I am not actually going to change your life situation. But I'm going to show you how I'm going to help you, how I'm not leaving you on your own. And in fact, my spirit that's been on you this whole time, we are going to start to spread out. Now, it's interesting. This is a good idea, right? Like, wouldn't it be great to have more people sharing burdens? But then you know what happens? They don't do it right. Did you know? You could probably finish the sentence for me. If you want something done right, you have to do it. That's right. Exactly. And so we see that same idea. We want to protect our turf. Yes, we want help, but we also want to still maintain our position. And so God takes the spirit that's on Moses and he puts it on elders, 70 plus elders, and to show that they had received the spirit, they prophesied for a brief time, but then there's the two that didn't come to the church meeting. Can you imagine someone avoiding a church meeting? We don't know why they weren't there, but God still puts his spirit on them too, and a young person comes running back and says, someone, Eldad and Medad, they're prophesying outside the camp. They weren't at the meeting. They didn't get the special instructions or learn the special secret handshake or whatever it was. And Joshua is upset. Joshua says, Moses, stop them. He's well-intentioned, but he's misguided. And sometimes we have to let go. Sometimes we want things a certain way, and maybe we've done it a certain way, and this can happen within our lives, within our workplaces, within our homes, within our neighborhoods, within our church, within our synod. We work hard to protect our turf because we are used to how we like things to be, and we can be jealous of others. Especially if someone new comes and they start getting more attention and thanks than we ever got. But God gives a different manner of life by giving the Spirit. God shows people that their life can be quite different from what they're used to. And it's interesting as he does this, because what does he change up for their food? Not really anything. He does give them some quail, but it's still manna all the time. God's answer is not to change our life situation often, but his answer is to let us know that we're not alone through this and that he hears us and that he's equipping us to handle it. It reminds me, and I don't tell a lot of stories from the pulpit anymore, But can I ask, how were any of you members here when Pastor Lehman was the pastor? Okay, there's a few of you here. So Pastor Dr. Edward Lehman, sainted pastor here, went on to become synodical president. I was blessed that during my last year of seminary, we take one class in the final semester as we're writing our thesis, and it's called Pastoral Theology. And it's always taught by the president of the seminary, except our president was on sabbatical. So they had Dr. Lehman come and teach us pastoral theology. And you should have seen the syllabus. It was impossible. There was so much work, and we were overwhelmed with being able to get this done. So we rallied around and we said, Dr. Lehman, we need to meet with you. And so we met with him for an hour. We laid out all of our concerns, all of the things that we thought were too much. And he's like, oh, yes. And he acknowledged the things we were saying. And he said, sure, we could do this. We could do that. And at the end of the meeting, we all left and we felt so much better. And then about 15 minutes later, we realized he hadn't changed a thing for us. But all he had done is acknowledged what it was we were going through. And he said, I will help you, and we can continue to talk and discuss. And I'm happy to guide and support and equip you so that we can do all of this together. God's answer to the Israelites' complaints, God's answer to Moses' complaints, is to say, I'm going to give you a better life with my Holy Spirit. He did it by putting his Spirit on the elders, so the burden was shared. He didn't give them better food, even though they had been accustomed to something more tasty. He didn't give them more time off. He didn't give them turf to protect. Instead, he said, I want to show you that life with me, with my Spirit, is all that you need. And God shows us an unaccustomed lifestyle too. Because we know life is a lot more than food, or ease at work, or affirmations, you the man, or whatever else it might be that helps you feel like people like me. Life given by the Spirit means we have the Lord and giver of life, as we say in the Nicene Creed, actually living inside of us. And that life that we have been given, led by the Spirit, is one that was given and offered to all people by Jesus Christ, by the eternal Son of God who laid down his life and then told his disciples, I must go to the Father so that I can send the Helper, my Spirit, to you. And this seems backwards by our world. No one gains life by losing it, but that's exactly what Jesus did for Israel, for Joshua, for Moses, and for all of us who believe in him. And this new life in the Spirit is so much beyond that to which we normally cherish. It's a life that's been poured out on believers ever since that first day of Pentecost, on that Spirit of Jesus coming upon the disciples, speaking the Word of God in every language under the sun. And that's why the words of Moses are so powerful here. Because the Spirit isn't just given once, and it's not just given to the 70 elders. It's not just given to one nation or one leader. But as Moses said at the end there, oh, would not that the Lord would put His Spirit on all His people. That's the life that He's given us in our baptism. That those of us who have entered the kingdom of God have been born of water and the Spirit. Our baptism has given us this new life to which we can find true contentment because we have everything that we need. In fact, we are so much richer because of our inheritance, because we are heirs of the King. And so as we go through this life, yes, there are times of great challenge and hardship, and it's okay to be upset about challenges in life, but where do we go with them? To what do we go and receive to be able to move forward? Who is it that knows best and provides us everything that we need? We know the answer is God, the God in whose name we were baptized, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as Moses came to see, God, by the giving of the Spirit of Christ, provides us with everything that we need, so much more than what this earthly life has to offer. May we continue to cherish the needs that God provides. Amen.